Calling the meeting to order. It is 7:38 a.m. on Friday, July 9th. Katie Lowe's?
Here.
Robert Cram?
Absent. Yeah. Yep.
Tim Brangle? Raj Chiplunkar? Kyler Brown? Carr Preston?
Present.
Liz Holt. Okay, so we have a few. I'm hoping that we'll have one more person join us shortly, but we're going to start the meeting with updates.
Sure. Yeah. So we'll move on from meeting minutes. If we get a quorum, we can always circle back and approve the meeting minutes later and just take a couple things out of order. So where would you like to start on projects?
We'll see. Why don't we start with Lake Park?
Okay. So we understand that the inland, sorry, let me put my camera on here so you're not just, there we go. So we understand that the developer remains in talks with a single tenant to occupy the majority of the building with the intention that it would still be a medical office use and then retail and some commercial space. Here comes Raj in the waiting room with some retail and potential restaurant space on the first floor. The efforts to acquire property by the developer are still ongoing. And so there's really not much new to report. We have had check-ins with the developer from time to time, and they remain very interested in the project, but I think property acquisition has become one of their challenges.
And I'm sorry, Lisa, I forgot to welcome Katie Lowe's and Raj Chiplunkar is our newest members of the EDC. They were appointed, so welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
Welcome, Raj.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
Look forward to meeting you.
Likewise.
Also, just as a note, it's going to be the last meeting that's on Zoom, I think, in September.
Yeah.
We're resuming.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to item 8 on the agenda. But now that we have a quorum present, do we want to go back and approve the meeting minutes?
Great.
We can do that, or we can wait and see if other members of the EDC jump on a little bit later who were at the meeting. So for Raj and Katie, the way it would work with the meeting minutes is you would abstain from the vote.
Katie attended the last meeting.
So that was my next point. Yeah. Unless you attended the meeting or you listened to the audio of the meeting and would concur that the minutes are reflective of the discussion at that meeting.
Thank you.
Got it.
Motion to the meeting minutes from June 11th.
Yep. So moved.
A second?
Seconded. Am I allowed to second?
Great. Katie seconded it. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Okay.
Back to various projects.
Yep, okay.
Any other updates?
On Lake and Park? No, that's it from my perspective. And we have another individual joining the meeting now, so we'll see who it is.
Great. Katie and Raj, do you want to introduce yourselves real quick and just tell everyone your involvement in the community and what motivated you to want to join the EDC? How about Katie?
Sure. So very excited to join the commission. I've lived in River Forest for 3 years, and it's always been part of the fabric of who my family is to be involved in our communities. So I grew up in a suburb of Detroit. Our family owned small business there, and we're very involved in promoting the local business scene in order to encourage business to our own. So that was very much part of who I was growing up. And then now living here, I work for a global public relations agency. I have my MBA in marketing and international business, and just feel like some of the skills that I use in my day-to-day job could absolutely be applicable for River Forest. And then also have experience at nonprofits. So both knowing how to do things in the big expensive way and also knowing how to do things in a more cost-effective and scrappier way and the relationships that come across both. So excited to bring that here and be involved in the village that I love and call home.
Great, and I'll just point out too, Katie was helpful when we were doing the COVID testing initiative before Thanksgiving. Raj, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, yes. So my name is Rajendra Chiplunkar. I go by Raj. We live in the 100 block of Ashland. We've lived here since, going back to 2005. So we've been here for close to 16 years. We have two younger kids who go to the public school here. My wife Sheba is an internist who works locally. I myself am an electrical engineer and a lawyer. I practice patent law in the city, primarily patent litigation. I've always been interested in local government. I've attended meetings in the past when there were contentious issues. I like reading documents and analyzing statutes and ordinances. And that's why I wanted to be a part of a committee that that helps the trustees here to wade through the various rules and regulations. I've thrown my hat in the ring before, and I guess finally I was picked.
Well, welcome. It's great to have you part of it. Let's see, did we have any public comments that were registered?
We don't have anyone who signed up for public comment. Were there any other EDC members that have jumped on the call? Is there anyone who would like to make public comment? Okay.
So back to updates on various projects. Any other updates to provide?
So on Madison Street, the expression of interest responses are due today. And so those will come back to the EDC once they have been gathered and assembled.
Great. Any other questions? Okay, so we'll move on to discussions regarding business retention and attraction strategies.
Sure.
And one of the things that I wanted us to discuss is whether or not there was support for the idea of getting some extra assistance with recruiting a tenant, further tenants for Lake and Park. Right now, I've done some outreach, but the thought is, I'm just curious if people think it might be worthwhile recommending to the trustees that they consider targeted help to help, recruit businesses, as opposed to us just, right now we put it out there publicly, but we don't have anyone actively doing the phone calls and working the networks in a full-time capacity to target someone. So I'll put that out there for discussion.
I think that sounds very important, and I would be happy to work on that or make the phone calls.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think trying to provide whatever assistance we can, we should really strongly consider.
I think right now that project, I believe, is the one that has the fewest complications in terms of being able to fast track something. And do we have any commitments, commercial commitments at that space right now?
We do not.
No. But, once it's locked down.
No, no, in fact, so just for our newest EDC members, the village owns a piece of property on Park Avenue across the street from the village hall. And there has been, and then we own the parking lot that is behind it and south of, what is it now, Byline Bank. So there's Byline Bank, there's a lot, and then there's a lot south of that. So we own that. We own the vacant lot across the street from Village Hall, and then we own the parking lot that is at the corner of Lake and Park. And so there has been some interest in seeking a potential development partner for that particular piece of property. The village has gone out to RFP in the past. We have been working with IBT Walsh, who has identified a potential tenant to occupy the majority of the building as a medical tenant. And what Chairman Neubecker is talking about is potential retail or restaurant tenants for the first floor of that building. and potentially I would assume we may have to go out for RFP on this for assistance identifying potential tenants on the first floor.
Yeah. And then what type of assistance are you thinking about? Is it, you know, some type of consulting firm to come in and help identify tenants or broker?
I think someone that has the, you know, a firm or a person that has the relationships with you know, restaurants, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, Kathy had asked me to, Kathy Aducey, the village president, had asked me to raise this as a discussion piece. Ultimately, it's the trustees that would have to decide on that. But I think she wants to accelerate the ability to get that property off the ground, and having, you know, having a tenant sign on would certainly help that.
Yeah, no, so I think it's a good idea. Anything we could do to assist somebody that's kind of in that world every day, have the relationships, know that that site could be a fit, just to help us get to the right people. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay, any other discussion on ideas or thoughts to help attract businesses to River Forest?
Well, the other thing we can do too is just talk about the business forums that were conducted in June with the help of the Chamber of Commerce and follow up on that. So if you don't mind, I'll kind of, yeah, so I'll summarize what was in the memo and in the board packet and just kind of give a little history on that. So the village is poised to receive $1.34 million under the American Rescue Plan, which is federal aid due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And there are a variety of ways that that money may be used. We're seeking additional clarification. Some of it is coming out in what I would call drips instead of buckets. And those funds have not yet been dispersed by the federal government. The Village of River Forest has not received the funds yet, but other communities that are considered direct disbursements, meaning the money came just in a more direct fashion, have gotten their first disbursement. It'll come in two disbursements. Oak Park has gotten their first one, and the second one will come within a year. So we don't know when our first disbursement is coming. We don't know when the second one is coming, but we anticipate it will be within a year, just like the other communities. So over the next, you know, hopefully 6 to 18 months, we are getting those funds in, and we anticipate that we will be able to use them for supporting local businesses, some portion of it for supporting local businesses. So before we initiated a variety of programs and projects to support those businesses, we wanted to do a listening tour with the business community and identify where the need was and how the village might be able to jump in. I think there are certain things we can do, certain things that might be a little bit more challenging to do. And so there was a really good discussion at was one of the previous meetings about how the village could potentially use that money and some near-term and long-term investment strategies in our business community. So we went out. We didn't promise anything because we wanted to see what the need was first. We held six different forums. They were all virtual. There was one forum where we had, I think, no participants, but there were at least one or two participants in the others. And so certainly we gave the business community an opportunity to participate. The feedback that we got from them was summarized in your packet. We had a facilitator from the Brennan School of Business at Dominican University, Ramiro Archistain, who did a really nice job facilitating that conversation. And he, I think, did a good job, too, of capturing the comments that were received at those forums. And so that is all data that the EDC can use in light of the conversation that we have about potential business and attraction strategies or support strategies with our existing business community. So I provided the summary of the discussion from the previous EDC meeting along with the comments that were received during the forum so that we can kind of blend those items together and have an informed discussion about what we think the next steps are in moving forward with this. And we can certainly also, you know, I know we have a few members of the EDC who weren't able to join us today, so I think it might be a good idea to, you know, have a little discussion today and then perhaps continue the discussion at the next meeting when we have a full complement of members so that we can make sure everybody's on the same page.
Any comments?
No, I guess, and just Lisa, procedurally, the way it would work is, you know, we and others would make recommendations to the trustees, and then they would kind of give final approval for how the funds are, you know, allocated.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're looking for a plan. We would like to come up with what we think the, I think we know what the strategy is, but I think we're looking at what are the different tactics that we would use to achieve that strategy.
Any, you know, I had a chance to look over the notes from the forms, just, but any kind of high level kind of thoughts or takeaways from some of your discussions?
Yeah, a couple. You know, there wasn't, I would say this much. I think the common thread among all the different sectors was the challenge that every business is having with staffing and employment, filling positions and having to continue to pivot as a result of the labor shortage and some uncertainty whether this is a permanent labor shortage or temporary. And so I know that that was one challenge that was raised really kind of across the board. And then continuing to examine how to be flexible. I know the broad takeaways that I heard, I think, particularly in the medical industry was that there has been a wave of need for services and, you know, some difficulty in trying to get appointments for everybody who wants it because there's just been a pent-up demand for that particular market. With, you know, exercise and fitness, obviously one of the challenges continued to be staying in person or remote and how you get people back out. And I think that was an issue that the EDC raised was how do you get people back out and into the businesses when we've all become accustomed to kind of doing things different ways. I know one of the issues that came up was, you know, sustainability and packaging and the, you know, difficulty in sourcing some of those materials and some changing consumer trends and what they're expecting from the business community and using sustainable packaging or recyclable packaging, particularly for food products. So that was one of the, I think, more high-level takeaways that we got. Was, you know, an effort for, by the business community to try to match consumer demand, consumer values, but having difficulty, you know, kind of sourcing and affording some of those materials because they're a little bit more expensive. So so getting people back in, you know, continuing to try to pivot to meet consumer demand and consumer behavior and expectations, pent-up demand for certain types of services and labor. I think those were probably the big bold headlines, if I had to pick a couple from those meetings.
Okay. Just one comment. I had a discussion with the manager of the Jewel on Lake Street, and he informed me, he actually offered me a job while I was in the check-in, but he said he has 50 openings right now, and he just, you know, they can't source enough people. So a lot of the businesses are having to have people on overtime, which is, you know, adding to cost, but there's a real need for labor right now. So if any of your kids are looking for a job at home and are 16, send them to the Jewel. They have plenty of jobs.
Yeah. So one of the things that was interesting too, and I think Liz was really helpful. Liz, unfortunately, Liz Holt from the Chamber was unable to make it this morning. She was called away unexpectedly, but she had, I think, some really good insights that generated discussion during the forums. Because there was a desire for businesses, chamber businesses in particular, to get the word out about jobs that are available. And it was interesting because the one piece of information that they continue to circle back to is the chamber hasn't necessarily seen themselves in the past, and I don't want to put words in Liz's mouth, but perhaps being a source of that information. And but they do, I believe, either have a job board or are talking about creating a job board, because even though it, you know, the teenagers aren't going to be checking it, it's possible that their parents will, and so it could be a good opportunity for people to connect and find those opportunities on those websites. So one thing I think that was interesting too, at least from my perspective, was I think the overarching theory was that part of the reason there were shortages in the labor market was that businesses were competing with unemployment benefits, which were for a time more lucrative than going back to work. And so the hourly wage was going up, but despite the hourly wage going up, the labor shortages remained. And so the idea that you're just competing with unemployment is probably not the full picture. The other part of it is that there are people who have just decided this is the time in their life where they're going to explore their passion project and do that in lieu of, give it a go in lieu of going back to a job that they didn't necessarily love or prefer or in an industry or a line of work that they no longer wanted to be involved with. So, it'll be interesting to see whether labor shortages are long or short term. If some of those passion projects take off, that's great. If they don't, maybe some people will be coming back into the market and looking for a source of income, some other way. And so I think that was, the chamber I know has been working on trying to find creative ways to support the business community as it pertains to employment. And so I think it would be good if we could get Liz back at the next meeting and she can give us an idea of kind of where the chamber is working to help support this too.
I believe the unemployment benefits in Illinois, the enhanced benefits, will expire end of September is my understanding.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to have a lawyer on.
Yeah, thank you, Raj.
Yeah. And as far as uses for the money, Lisa, is it all going to kind of assist small businesses or what are the other kind of eligible uses?
So one of the main things that the village is looking at, so out of the $1.34 million, the one of the main intents of it was to replace lost revenue. And so the village's finance director is examining, and we have some information that we're going to be presenting to the village board in the coming months here, about exactly what kind of lost revenue we were looking at between sales tax, different utility taxes, certainly earnings on some of our investments were way down, particularly mm-hmm. depending upon when those earnings were calculated. So those are some of the eligible expenses, but within the business community, let me scroll down to my memo to get the exact language in front of me here. It can be used for assistance to small businesses and aid to impacted industries. So what that means specifically and what is considered an eligible expense and what is not, that's information we're still waiting for guidance from the federal government on what that means. And so, we do have some other communities, like I said, that have already gotten their money, and we'll be, kind of watching as the pioneers in this area with the first disbursement, what kind of programs might get pushed back and what might not. So there's a little bit of an opportunity to kind of watch and see what happens and wait and see as the additional guidance comes out. But I don't have a very specific answer other than that, Carr.
Okay, now that's helpful. One of the things I think we can discuss, at the next meeting, maybe just kind of bringing in some outside resources to facilitate a best practices on, just either customer retention or staffing, all the things you mentioned that just all the best ideas that are working outside can be brought in where people can get some type of consulting assistance from, experts in some of these areas.
And I think the job board is a great idea for a lot of the small businesses because they perhaps don't have the infrastructure to go out and seek employees independently, or they don't have the time or the wherewithal. So I think what Liz was her name at the count. So is that something they are trying to put together, a job board, like an aggregator for open positions?
Yeah, that was one of the discussion points that came up. And so Liz Holtz is the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce, and she's an ex officio member of the EDC, which means that she is on the commission, but she doesn't vote. So
okay.
I think, and Liz had hoped to be able to be here today. And so we can ask her to kind of talk about what the chamber is doing with that at the next meeting.
That would be nice if there's a job posting board, if the jobs could appear both on the village website and the chamber's website. There's ways to do that, much like the COVID stats, how they're embedded.
Yeah.
If we could get something, you know, that might be a project worth doing to help businesses, if there's a way to, you know, get
sure.
the technology and share it.
Well, we certainly have really robust outreach with village communications. And so just making the public, they do have a job posting under resources, a job posting page. So we can incorporate this into the village's communications just to let, you know, help spread the word that the chamber has this resource available to the community.
And to pick up on Carr's point, where he said we get somebody with expertise to help businesses, like one of the areas that is possible is a lot of small businesses, they don't have employees who want to come back into work. Maybe there are people who can explain to them how some of these job functions can be done by people who are working remotely to fill that need, so that they have some, you know, so that they have some help. You know, people may not want to come in and man the front desk at a doctor's office, but maybe they would be more than happy to work from home. And, you know, there perhaps are ways to make that happen. If not a long-term solution, at least it's a short-term solution.
Okay. Any other discussion on business retention attraction strategies?
So during the pandemic, I knew there were a lot of passion project businesses that sprung up in River Forest, during the holidays, et cetera. Is there any interest in trying to make those businesses go mainstream or help them go mainstream once we are out of this pandemic? Is that something we want to consider?
Well, talk to me a little bit more about what you mean by that.
So I don't know. I believe this individual is in River Forest, but there was this company that got started up called L-Box or something, you know, and she just works out of her home. And there was somebody who had like a home-based business for, you know, mixer drinks during the holidays that she would put together, you know, and it was fairly well received. But, you know, is there, so those kind of businesses to help them go mainstream or to build, you know, what are home-based to try to see if they want to expand and, you know, go beyond the community so that they can increase their revenue. And I assume we tax these businesses. I'm not exactly sure, but if there's any interest in soliciting, at least going out to the community and seeing how many people started home-based businesses during the pandemic, and is there anything we can do to help you expand?
Well, just want to let you know one thing we already do for home-based businesses. So each week when the village publishes its weekly e-news, we include a spotlight on a member and whether or not they belong to the Chamber of Commerce. And home-based businesses are eligible to participate in that. So that has a pretty broad reach over social media and e-news. And so we are helping to advertise those businesses. And every time we advertise a business, or just, you know, help increase community awareness of its existence, we invite other businesses to participate in the program, and that gives us a good response. So of those businesses, I know one individual who operates a home kitchen and does some baking has started to think about expanding into brick and mortar and would like to do so within the community. So as the demand arises and as we're aware of it, we can certainly look at what we would do to help them find space within the community.
Hey, Lisa. It's Bob O'Connell. How's everybody today? I like your suggestion. I think the one thing that we got to balance right now is, you know, for example, you know, the lady who's doing the L box, whatever. She's, you know, she's advertising with a River Forest address. We don't have a lot of vacant space. So, you know, we should be talking to them to understand who's interested. And we need to be proactive to make sure that when they come out, they don't go to Forest Park, because that seems to be the natural tendency. Is there's, you know, small short-term space in Forest Park. So, you know, if we catalog those people and have that conversation, which I think is a great idea, we also need to be in a position to understand exactly what's available and where we can put them.
Yeah, and I think the other part of the discussion could just be around building on what we're doing from a marketing, business development, promoting, you know, small businesses kind of in the community to help drive traffic and help, you know, increase demand.
Any other comments? Okay, so we'll move on to other business then. And I just wanted to say that it's been an honor to serve as the chair of the EDC. My term technically was up April of this year. For personal reasons, we've decided to sell our house. We'll be listing our house near the end of the month, and I thought it was only appropriate for me to offer my resignation so that someone else that's in the community can come in to serve. I believe that the appointment of the new chairperson and the replacement of my role will probably happen before the September meeting, but that's for the trustees to determine. But it's been an honor serving with all of you, and I've enjoyed my interaction with you all and being a part to help make Earth Forest a great place to live, work, and do business.
Yeah. No, thanks a lot, Lee, for your service. It's great.
Hey, Lee, it's Bob again. In truth, I was the one who recommended you to Kathy to take over the chairmanship, and it's a decision that I don't regret at all. Your energy, your enthusiasm for the community is unabounded, and thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
And I've learned a lot from you in the short time that I've known you, and just thank you for welcoming me and teaching me a little bit of the ropes before you go.
One other item of, I guess, other business. The village has hired a search firm to help fill the fire chief role that they're searching for. And they also have a search point for the village administrator, of which Lisa is being considered for. And they just wanted to do the process formally. I shared with Kathy that I thought that it might be a good idea to consider offering Lisa a retention bonus for being here for the next 12 months to ensure continuity. In terms of what that might be or whatnot, it may be that she ends up being the full-time village administrator, but in any event, her services here, I think, are very important in making sure that we have that continuity while we go through that process, I think is probably a good thing. And Lisa didn't know I was
going to say that. I didn't know. No, thank you. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed working with you. I thank you for the opportunity to do that. It's been a pleasure, even though it's been a short period of time. I sincerely appreciate that.
Yeah, and I don't know if any of the commissioners have thoughts on that, but I think that, having been down Eric and now we just have Lisa, I think we'd really be at a challenge if we were to lose her.
No, completely agree. I think continuity is important.
So I don't know that we need a note on that. I just have that be included in the comments.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any executive session business?
We do not.
Okay. And so the next meeting will be September 10th. Mm-hmm. And if emergency business arises before then, we'll be in touch. But we thought August, lots of people have vacations, school starting and whatnot. So for the purpose of planning, everyone knowing that we're not having a meeting until September, I think is appropriate.
Right. And just to circle back at the top of the meeting, we talked about the fact that the September meeting will return in person. So the executive order that allows us to hold these meetings remotely will be expiring at the end of this month. It's been extended several times, and our understanding is it will not be extended again. So if we had met in August, or if we were to have met in August, then that would have been canceled or held, excuse me, in person as well. So September planned to be here in person. Right now, the meetings are scheduled that Friday at 7:30 in the morning. It'll be here in the community room at the Village Hall.
Just to confirm, are people to follow CDC guidelines if they've been vaccinated, they don't need to wear a mask, but they should wear a mask?
Good question. So the Village is following CDC guidelines when you are here at the Village Hall, and that's both for staff and members of the public. There are certain circumstances where you're still going to see staff wearing masks, because that's what's called for under those guidelines. But when you're here in the Village Hall, if you are fully vaccinated, you do not have to wear a mask or social distance, although if you choose to, that's certainly your right to do so. If you are not vaccinated, we ask that you wear a mask when you come in and practice social distancing. We do not check your vaccination status when you arrive here at the building. We trust that people will do the right thing and tell the truth. However, if you are somebody who is vaccinated, but again, prefers that people around you mask up and social distance, we are happy to accommodate that. And we just want everybody to feel comfortable and be able to come in and participate as fully as they would like to.
And then just for clarity, the virtual option will no longer exist at all.
What's that?
So there will be no more virtual meetings starting in September.
So the way it would have to work is that in September, the Economic Development Commission, if you want to, so the Open Meetings Act, can step back. The Open Meetings Act allows remote participation for a limited number of reasons, one of them being personal health and being away on business. But in order to participate remotely, we would have to have a physical quorum. So the Economic Development Commission would have to adopt rules of procedure that allow for remote participation for the eligible reasons under the Open Meetings Act, but the entire EDC could not be virtual. You would have to have at least four members here in order to hold the meeting, and then they would have to, the EDC members who are here would have to vote to allow remote participants to participate in that fashion. There is no obligation that the commission allow that, but you can adopt rules of procedure that would. But I would have to have at least four people here in order to do that.
Hey, Lisa, how about the public option? Is the public going to be allowed to continue to Zoom, or is that still open for discussion?
It's still open for discussion. I think that's probably a conversation we want to have so that there's consistency across all boards and commissions and everybody's doing it the same way.
Yep. Okay. Thanks.
There's no other business. I have a motion to adjourn.
Yep, so moved.
Seconded.
All in favor? Everyone's got to take off the mute.
Yeah, yes.
Aye.
I think you're muted, Lee.
I'm here.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great